Hello, everyone, and welcome to another conversation of SYD Life. Today, we're joined by Jamie Malcolm, a man who's graced our screens for over 20 years on Channel 9's morning show with Kerry Ann, Channel 7's morning show, and, of course, TVSN, the TV shopping network. Jamie, thanks for your time today. Firstly, Jamie, how did you get into TV?
How did I get into TV? I did it the long way, Mark, and the long and the slow way. My first gig in TV was through a friend of a friend who was working at a place called the Television Shopper Network, and he was a director there, and they said they were looking for more presenters, and I went in and applied for the gig. I'd never done any TV, and I didn't get it, and so I went back to being a waiter, and about 6 months later, they advertised for people to work backstage. I think the job description was to lift and move things. And I applied for that job and I got that one, which is very impressive. And I worked backstage for around about 2 years and trying to get on air, you know, knocking on doors, you know, executive producers' doors saying, give me a go. You got to give me a go. I'm going to be good at this. And then one day one of the presenters came backstage and she said, I got to do this show. She said, I said, oh, you know, maybe I can help you. What's the show? And she said, you won't know what it's about. She said, you won't be able to help me. It's about how to make LED light windows. And I grew up in New Zealand, and my trade that I did for 5 years was LED light windows. And I said, look, crazy enough, that's what I've done for a trade. I know how to do it. I said, do you want me to tell you how to do it? And she said, there's not enough time. Would you mind coming on air with me? And I was like, yes. Thank you. I love you. So I went on air with it, did a half-hour show on how to do it. And when I finished, I walked off and the executive producer was standing there and he said, oh, mate, you're good. You're good at this. And I said, I've been telling you for 2 years, you idiot. No, I didn't. I said, thank you. I love you. And he gave me a gig.
So that was the pathway, just that.
That was one, it. One hung little... around for 2 years. And can I say that? It sounds easy to say I hung around for 2 years when I say it now, but it felt like 50 years. It
feels like a long time.
Yeah.
Knocking on doors and pushing and making sure, you know, your face is there, ever-present, good attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, and being present and then that opportunity comes up. It must have felt like $1 million when it came around.
Do you know, during that time, so I would have been mid-20s, not long ago, and I sort of got I really got the hang of understanding that your what you say was very important. Like what you say over your own life, what you say in your own life is really important. And I read this scripture that said that your tongue is like the rudder of a ship, that even though a ship can be in a storm, if the rudder is pointed in the right direction, a ship will reach its port. And it's saying our tongue is the same. So even though you can be going through a storm, if you keep true to where you want to go with what you say, then even though you're going through a tough time, you'll reach your destination. So I used to constantly speak over my life that I was a full-time presenter on the network and so forth. And,
how good is that?
And I think it was very important for, you know, I don't know how cosmically that God works that out, but I think for my own focus, it was a great thing too.
Indulge me, because you said you're a tradesman before that.
Yeah.
What was the flick? What was the switch?
I'd always been a bit of a performer. Yeah. I'd played in bands and I wanted to perform on stage. So it wasn't specifically television, but any sort of performance. Yeah. I was really keen on doing.
Yeah, sure.
And I felt pretty confident at it. Yeah. So, that was it.
How good's that?
Yeah, that's good.
Different pathways. We're talking about them before this podcast began. You could be a producer, podcaster, presenter. What would you say to someone who wants to get into the industry? Because it's changed from when you started to what it is now.
Do you know, it's funny. There's three things that I always say. Talent, persistence, luck. Those three things. And talent.
true.
Yeah. The talent part of it, I think you've got to be relatively good at what you do. I think that goes without saying. And a lot of people now, you know, want to be actors and all that, but if you're not very good, you know, that's a bit of a stretch. So find out if you're good at it. Don't just ask your mum. You know, find out if you're good at it or not. Persistence is a massive one, Mark. It's a massive one. And not just in going after a career you want, but in life. There's a scripture that says the testing of your faith builds perseverance, which is a funny thing to have in the Bible. The testing of your faith. I thought the testing of your faith, like trial and error, would make you a perfect person. And it doesn't say that. It would make you a persistent person. So it sort of makes me think that maybe God's not trying to make me someone who never fails, but he's trying to make me someone who never quits. So I think that persistence is the secret to just about everything. I saw an interview with Ed Sheeran the other day, and they were asking him what's the secret to, you know, getting where you are. And he said, look, the talent part, but he said, for me, persistence is the number one thing, to keep going, to keep knocking on doors, and just to keep going even when you don't want to. The third part to it is luck.
Who you know, not what you know sometimes.
Oh, my gosh. And do you know what? I narrow it down to this. You know, a lot of people say the harder I work, the luckier I get. And I think that's very, very true. I look at it a different way. I say luck is going through every door that's open.
Yep.
And we look at our lives and we go, look, I want to go from A to B, but there are no doors open. My answer to that would be, no, there are. It's probably not the door you want to go through, but there is an open door. And for some people that want to, you know, be a director, and it's like, yeah, maybe the only door open is to do a course on director. Do that. The only door open is to make us what seems to be a rubbish little short film for a trot fest, and somebody gave you a script which is awful. It's the only door open.
Just have a go.
Whatever door is open, go through it. I tend to find when you go through one door, another one opens. We remember a guy used to come on the Kerry Ann show often. It was a guy called Matthew Riley, who is now one of Australia's most successful authors. And I asked him once how he got to where he was. And he said, you know, I tried to get someone to publish my books and nobody would. So I published them myself, my first one. And then he said, I basically put them in my backpack and I went from bookstore to bookstore and said, hi, my name's Matthew. Would you have my book in your shop?
Yep.
And eventually one out of all of them he went into said yes.
Yep.
And it went from there. And he said the reason he did that is because it was the only door that was open. And I think sometimes we just, you know, we think we're better than we are, or we think doors should open for us, bigger doors should open. And it's like, look, they're not. So you have to go through the door that's open. And it's probably a lot smaller door than you think.
Yes.
I learned that with trying to get on TV for 2 years. It wasn't until the executive producer saw me on TV.
Saw what you could do.
You're good.
Yeah.
Because you can talk all day long.
Yeah.
But until people see what you can do, then they go, oh, you're not too bad.
You can do it. You
can. And they'll probably offer you a smaller gig than you were hoping for.
Yeah.
Be patient. Be persistent. Keep going.
You talk about persistence. So started out in Fox Sports 2015.
Yeah.
They decided to flip the head and move to Macquarie Park.
Right.
Which means everyone had to apply for their jobs. I was a freelancer at the time, so made casual.
Yeah.
Had to apply for a job. I was the last one. Someone dropped out of the turnover, so I was the last one in. We got through 3 years redundancy.
Jeez.
Year off. Picked up a head of media job.
Yeah.
And then back at Fox Sports. But two redundancies in that. And it's amazing how much trial and tribulation you go through in this industry to actually, you know, persist and get through, and the character, you know, forms over that time. But that's what sometimes you're in for when it comes to this industry.
Is it worth it, you reckon?
It's worth it. Yeah. It's worth it. When you're doing what you love, I think, and that's what I've found. That is the most important thing.
It's humbling, isn't it?
It is humbling. What's one piece of advice you'd give to someone first walking on set?
Oh, first walking on set? Focus. Okay. I remember the day before I was about to go on live TV, I was in the lounge. I remember an apartment we used to rent, and I was in the lounge and I was on the floor. I was like, God, I'm packing my pants. I don't want to do this. You know when you face something you're really scared about, and I was like, oh, what am I going to do? And I was like, God, help, help. And look, I'm not going to say God spoke to me, but I kind of got something. And I felt in my heart, like on the inside, you know, you get that sort of that feeling on the inside, and your gut, the gut feeling was focus.
Yep.
That one thing, just focus.
Yep.
And it changed everything for me, I thought, because I was thinking about the lights, the director, I was thinking about the producers. What are they going to think of me? They might hate me. This might be the last 5 minutes I ever do on
TV.
What
was the thing you had to focus on? What was it?
Only what I was there to do.
Okay. Yep.
Which I knew what I had to say.
Yep.
And I knew what I had to do. And so the secret was blocking everything else.
Yep.
Out. There is an old movie. I forget what it is. Kevin Costner, I think. And he's a pitcher.
Field of Dreams?
There's
another one. Yeah.
I forget what it is. And he's a pitcher. And he used to say mechanism on.
Yeah.
And before he pitched a ball. And it would blur out everything else, all the crowd, all the noise and everything.
Oh,
and he would focus just on the plate of pitching this ball. And if you can master that in life, if you can block out what you can't control and just focus on what you can control, you're going to go a long way. Because there's a lot of time in life you don't need to do that, but there's sometimes you need to really focus.
Hone in and
attention
to detail.
Yeah, one of the old Greek philosophers said that once. He said the key thing in life is figuring out what you can control and separating it from what you can't control. Actually, sorry, on that last note, Mark, one more thing. I heard this great guy talking about it the other day, and he was talking about how to deal with anxiety.
Sure.
And the interviewer said, give us one thing people can do at home that'll really help. And he said, write down the 10 things that you're worried about at the moment and put a line through all the things you can't control.
Yeah, sure.
And I thought that's a cool key for life. And I learned that through television to scratch all this stuff out of the way and just go, okay, I know what I can control and I know what I can do. That's all I can do, and to heck with the rest of it.
And that's how you've dealt with your nerves over the last 20 years.
Oh, my gosh, no, I've got 1,000
stories about that.
Yeah. So fear is I call it nature's adrenaline. I used to hate it. Now I love it.
How do you embrace it?
You embrace it. You love it. It's never going to go away. It's always going to be there in some shape or form. You got to just know how to deal with it. I tend to find when I help train a lot of the new presenters in different places, and they go, oh, I'm scared. I'm like, it's great. You'll always perform better with nerves because it heightens you, heightens your energy, heightens your focus if you can control it. So embrace it. So don't expect it not to be there. It's going to be there. So embrace it, first of all. And when I'm teaching these guests, I think they get overcome with fear because they're trying to do it perfect.
There's an expectation to look good at the moment, or more so than ever.
Yeah.
And that's obviously the adrenaline pushing through off on sometimes with some presenters.
It's true.
Yeah.
They don't want to do it wrong.
They don't want to do it wrong.
They don't want to stuff it up.
There's outside noise. There's social media. There's like your peers as well.
Yeah.
But it's that fear of that underlying messing it up. Yep.
My wife used to be a makeup artist, and she used to sometimes deal with bridezillas, you know, who are determined that their wedding day would be perfect.
Yep.
And she said they would be a mess. And she said it was always those weddings which were never good. The best weddings were not the ones that wanted it perfect, but just wanted it great.
Yeah.
So it's a good lesson in life. It's never going to be perfect. Your kids are never going to be perfect. Your marriage is never going to be perfect. But it doesn't mean it can't be great.
It can't be good.
I always remind new presenters of this. It's not going to be perfect. It's a great quote that says, confidence doesn't come from always getting it right. Confidence comes from not fearing getting it wrong. And I've learned that from making so many mistakes that I know how to deal with the mistakes now.
Sure.
So I'm not freaking out so much. So I'm confident because if it goes wrong, I can fix it.
You know what
I mean? I'm not going to freak out too much. When I'm dealing with presenters on air and I can tell they're really, really, really nervous, there's normally two reasons. One, they're thinking too far ahead.
Yep.
What am I going to say after this? And after that, I'm going to say this. I've got to say this. And it's like, hey,
stick to script.
Bring it back.
Yep.
Control what you can control. One step at a time, one bit at a time. That's what we're going to do. The rest of it, forget it. You might forget half the things you're going to say. People do the same thing with speeches. I've got to remember to say all this. The amount of time. They always say there's three speeches that you do. The one you write, the one you make, and the one you wish you would have made. And it's so often that we forget half the things that we were going to say. It is what it is. You've got to get over it. So that's the two things that people get wound up the most about, which is they're thinking too far ahead and trying to remember stuff.
It's hard.
Write it down or don't remember it, you know, either way.
Got points on the palm of your hand. I've seen some presenters of you on, okay.
I always say this too, and this helps if you're a public speaker or something. Push through the start. The start sucks. The start's always going to suck. It just does. Everyone's staring at you. You just got to push through it. Just push get through it.
Yeah, the best thing, we were talking about this before, like vision over the top of voices. That's a perfect time to have a look at stuff like that. There's always moments.
And your emotions go crazy.
Oh, emotions go wild. Talking about emotions, faking it until you're making it, smiling on TV when things aren't always going good under the surface. Have you dealt with that in your career, and what's some advice?
Well, you don't have much of a choice on live TV. It's like 3, 2, 1, you're on. Be happy. Yeah. And it's like, feel like garbage. Sorry, you're on.
Yeah.
So I guess I've learned to fake it. You do. You switch on. And that's a great lesson in life.
Yeah.
You just switch on. You know, switch on being positive. Switch on a smile. Switch on being kind to people, you know. And I don't want it to be cheesy.
Yeah.
And please forgive me if it sounds like that. But, man, I've learned you really can.
Yeah.
Like, really, for real, you can switch on positivity. You can switch on being up.
Yeah.
You can switch on a smile. And I know when if I can go to work and I'm feeling rubbish and things are a bit tough or whatever, if I'm happy and smiley for an hour on air, I finish and I feel $1 million.
Yeah, sure.
It's a really strange feeling. It's like I thought my emotions were the things that controlled the way I expressed myself, but
I control my emotions and how I express myself.
I control the way I express myself, and it dampens your emotions. In other words, somebody said it once really well. They said your emotions are like a 2-year-old. You can have them in the car, but you can't let them drive. And I thought that's so true. It's like someone said that once. Sooner or later, you got to stand up and tell your emotions. They no longer get a vote. You can chuck them in the back seat and go, hey, shut up for half an hour.
Yep.
I'm going to smile. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to tell people they look great or whatever it takes. You can't let your emotions run your life. And I have learned that so much from just 3, 2, 1, you're on to just switching on. And I'm like, wow, I'm having a great day. Only because I faked it till I made it.
Faked it till you made it. It doesn't mean the problem's not there and you don't deal with it. And there's time and a place where you deal with it. And that's the most important thing as well, I guess, is finding that time to, when it comes back, this is the time I deal with it as well, off air, away from people.
I mean, being positive doesn't guarantee you a great life, but it's really hard to have a great life without it. Really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a time in your career where you're just like, nah, I'm done with this. I'm done.
I really like it. I mean, so I guess on air now it's been close to 25 years and I really like it.
Yeah.
With all the things they've done, it's been a real mixture. Kerri-Anne Show was celebrity interviews and travel stories, and I used to work on a show, Fresh, which was a cooking show, which was really fun, and that was great. And TVSN's fun, and Seven's fun. No, I feel very blessed and very lucky to be doing what I'm doing, and I wouldn't change it for a heartbeat. And no, I feel very, very fortunate to be doing it. I would never give it up.
Never give it up.
Do it. Are there days when I get upset about it? Do you know what? This is going to sound terrible. No. I mean, we always look at our lives and there's something else that we would, why aren't I doing that?
Yep.
Why aren't I doing something greater or something better? But comparison is a dangerous place to live in.
Very.
You know, they say run your own race, and I've learned that the hard way. You know, if you got to leave comparison if you want contentment. If you want to be content in life, you got to take your eyes off other people and really run your own race. And you will enjoy your life so much better if you run the things that set out before you. rather than glancing at other people. I always find that run your own race, we're all very always happy to glance into another lane next to us where somebody is 200 kilometers back and they're struggling. We're always, oh, come on you,
yep,
you little ripper, you're going to make it. But if that person all of a sudden is up beside you and they get an inheritance of, you know, whatever, yep, and doors open for them, they're doing great. All of a sudden they're like, oh, whatever. You know, it's crazy.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so be careful not to judge, you know.
It's easy to get into. Yeah. It's easy to be in that like environments and toxic environments and workplaces. It can be easy to jump into that, but it's a decision to jump out. And it is. Yeah.
Can I tell you honestly the biggest secret I've found to control that?
Yeah, sure.
Is to bless other people.
Sure.
And I don't want to sound too weird, but just to pray for them and bless them. So whenever I have thoughts of, you know, I wish I was them, wish I had their life, that I wish I had their house, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Bless them.
Yep.
God bless them. Bless them. Bless them. There's something so powerful about just speaking well
about others,
about people who, when you think about them, makes you feel bad about yourself.
Yes.
The Bible says, bless those who curse you. So it's this, there's this amazing release within us when we just say, no, bless them. Bless them. Are they great? And speak well of them in front of others when people say, what about them? And if it's someone that makes you go, ooh, I want their life, just go, nah, they've got a great, you know, they've worked hard, great stuff. Bless them.
So
nobody
good.
Owes you anything.
So good.
Yeah,
there's so much in that. I've definitely taken
it's really important. Yeah.
Taking a fair bit out. Yep. We're going to do the rapid fire. We're going to go a quick three here.
I'm nervous, Mark.
You're nervous?
Yes.
Well, the first one, I've flipped them around a bit, but okay. I want to go the biggest blunder because I know
yes,
that's the most embarrassing moment. Biggest
loads,
blunder.
Loads. Thousands of them. I had one recently, which was a doozy, which I was doing. This is with TVSN, Television Shopper Network. We're doing a segment on a coffee machine. And a lovely lady was in there. She was demonstrating. I was chatting to her about it, and she'd made probably like half a dozen different coffees. Now she was making one which had whipped cream on the top. I don't know what sort of coffee requires that, but anyway, some type of coffee. And she while I was talking to her, she was a couple of meters away. She was trying to make the whipped cream come out of, you know, the whipped cream can, yeah, and it was stuck while she was talking. She goes, "I don't know why this is stuck," and all of a sudden she pressed it super hard. Live TV. And it burst out of the end of the whipped cream can and it traveled literally like 2 to 3 meters across the set and landed completely and directly in my crotch. Like, boom, just was like right there.
Oh,
and she was
perfect.
Like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, I won't say what I said, but it was just like, I had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And I'm not normally speechless, but I was like, I don't know what to say about it. And it was just, so we just sat there for a while we kept talking and I tried to mop it up. So that was a doozy the other day. That one threw me.
That one threw
me,
yeah.
And it, wow, you couldn't have planned that.
We can't wait to see that when it comes on there.
Yeah, yeah. You can find it on YouTube, I think so. Yeah.
Favorite person you've ever worked with?
Oh, my gosh. As far as like celebrities to interview, Carrie Ann, I learned so much off her, amazing lady. But celebrities and so forth. Oh, there's so many I've loved. Do you know what? The celebrities that you love the most are not the ones that are the biggest, but the ones that mean the most to you.
Sure.
And I guess David Beckham was a guy because I'm a big football fan, so I sort of wet my pants a bit when I met him.
Pepsi, please.
Yeah, I know. Kim Kardashian I thought was lovely.
Yeah, sure.
And I was not interested in chatting to her at all.
Yeah, wow.
I thought, whatever. She was so charming and so lovely. She was
cool.
The ones that have really made me freak out and be stupid. The first one was Roger Moore. And, you know, everyone's got their
James
persona. Bond.
Yeah.
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 Everyone's, you know, whether it's Daniel Craig or
Pierce Brosnan
or whatever.
Yeah.
Sean Connery for most people. For me, it was Roger Moore.
Sure.
So I used to go to the movies with my dad a lot in the 80s. And I walked into work and I think he'd just done something with the Today Show and he'd walked out in the corridors and he was with his press guy who I knew. And he said, oh, Jamie, have you met Sir Roger? And I lost my stuff because I just wasn't ready for it.
Did you go to fanboy?
Oh, it was awful. And I was like, oh, it's James Bond. And I was like, oh, you idiot, Jamie. And he was like, hello. He was very gracious. And he looked a double-breasted suit, super classy. And he was lovely. And he was very gracious to me. And I said, oh, it's great to meet you. I think I said something about his jacket or shoes or something. And then he walked away. And then I went into my dressing room and curled up on the floor. I thought, you're an idiot. But he was like, Wow. The only other one was that made me freak out. This is embarrassing. Was Duran Duran. They were over here. I think they were playing with Robbie Williams, and I got to interview them. And you understand it because you do editing and that kind of thing, Mark. That
I love watching these goose back.
Oh, I did the interview, and then I went back to Channel 9. We're in the editing booth, and the editor called me in and he said, "This is very difficult to edit because you ask a question, and when they respond, it sounds like somebody is. There's a high-pitched giggle all the time, all the way through." He said, "Is that you?" And I said, "Yeah, that's me."
That's
it was pathetic. But I was a big Duran Duran fan back.
How good's that?
How could you not?
How could you not be? Oh, yeah, exactly. Gosh, yeah. And outside of work, what do you do for fun?
What do? I hang with my family a lot. Yep. My kids are 21, 18, 16 now. So
Jeebus, that's gone fast.
Anytime I know, anytime I get with them is great time. Yep. So we'll go out for dinner. Any chance I can get, we'll go out for dinner together or go to the movies or, you know, I sometimes go to the gym with my son or, yeah, I love that the most in life.
Yep.
I love that the most, hanging out with my family. Yeah, that would be the best thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, such an amazing conversation there with Jamie Malcolm, a man in the industry for over nearly 25 years, so much experience and so much exposure to every facet of the media industry. And I'm just so grateful for his time. Thank you, Jamie. Thanks for joining another conversation with SYD Life. Be sure to check out more of our resources at c3syd.church/life and check us out on our socials.